Rusty Quill presents.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow-up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
This is Not Quite Dead. Episode 35, Winter's Tale. Okay, just taking a minute to think, to process. Yeah. Still not heard back from Haley, except for a couple of texts. I'm starting to worry a bit, you know? What if something's happened to her? What if the people Bonham works with, they have some kind of alert or something that lets them know if someone has tested vampire blood? God, if I didn't know she was mostly testing our stuff on NHS property, I'd be more concerned. I just don't think there's a way you could set up an alert through NHS systems, you know? It's just not joined up enough at the back end. A lot of the senior administrators can barely use fucking computers. There's just been no funding for training or... Yeah. It's weird. I don't miss it, working in the hospital, but at the same time, I do. Talking to Haley again, even just a little bit, it's reminded me of how much I loved what I did. I had to love it. It was killing me. Like I loved Casper, and he was kind of killing me too. Oh, God. Not important. So, Nej, the internet thing, he's... I really need to speak to Haley about this, honestly. I feel like I can't judge that action. There's a sense that, like, he just doesn't get how significant cutting off the internet is. It's still new. He gets that it's a powerful tool and stuff. He's excited about videos and music on demand. But I think to him it's like, the level of fuck up is just like he's not letting me go to a library or something. What I don't properly get, which he's tried to explain now, but like, I can only understand it to a degree, is what it's like to care for a new vampire. It's not like parenting someone, he's pretty clear on that. Because the person you're looking after is a grown-up who deserves to be not treated like a child. But when you've just turned into a vampire, you're not in your right mind. Not for a long time after. So I think it's more like, you know when you get a patient who... So I spent a few weeks training on a psych ward. It was really amazing in a lot of ways. I liked the work. It was rewarding. And it was nice to spend time with people who seemed like, I don't know, they didn't get a lot of chances to speak to people who didn't think that they were idiotic. Some of them came from family backgrounds where stuff just wasn't, yeah. There wasn't a lot of empathy at home, I don't think. So talking to me and the other nurses on the ward, for some of them, it was the first time I think they'd been listened to, like what they were, which was individual adults. Adults in crisis, sure, but not children. Even the people who had impairments, which made them behave in a childlike way, or whose capacity to understand stuff was on the level of childhood, it was, I don't know, it was important to me to see them as grown-ups, people who needed support in making their own decisions, but who absolutely not just deserved to have a say, but whose say in the matter ought to be given extreme priority in deciding what happened to them. Like, there's some nuance in that, right? You can't just let people endanger themselves. You can't just let them. It's your job to try and bridge the gap between those wants and desires, which come from a place of pain and fear and sickness, and a way forward which allows this person to actually thrive. How you draw that line and where you draw it, how you build those bridges, it involves listening. And you can't really bring much of your own shit to the table in a situation like that. There's an imbalance of power, and you owe it to the people you're helping to put them and their needs and their situation first. I think that's kind of what Nej has been trying to do. I think that's why he didn't want to sleep with me at first. I think it's why he finds it so hard to talk to me. He knows that there's an imbalance of power. That sometimes, because I was just made a vampire a year ago and I don't know anything, and everything is so fucking difficult, it's his job to, like, protect me from myself. From bad decisions I'd be making out of a place of fear or vulnerability, right? Because I just don't have the capacity in the moment to do anything else. And, like, I don't think there's an amount of explanation that would help, you know? I don't think it's reasonable. And I'd forgotten, until he made me listen back to the tapes, I'd almost forgotten how hard it all was. How intensely scared I felt all the time. How alone, how frightening Nej himself seemed to me in the beginning. How frightening it was to be so vulnerable and to have no other choice but to let him bathe me because I was too weak to move. What choice did either of us have then? I was filthy, I couldn't move myself, but we didn't know each other. It was a kind of trust, but not really. I say, what choice did he have? But, like, he didn't need to do any of that. He didn't need to help. He could have left, but he didn't. And when he made that choice, it wasn't because, like, it wasn't a moral imperative, you know? He doesn't work like that. It was just, yeah, he did that, and he knew that if he stayed and if he helped me, it would mean more than just giving me baths and teaching me how to hunt. A new vampire needs more than just that. I needed a fucking nurse, didn't I? So that's what he was. It's what he became. And he did his best. And it was vulnerable for him, too. I've not thought about that, but it was. For him, he shows up to help Casper, pretty much immediately comes to the conclusion Cass is dead, and then what? He finds me. And, like, no, he's not talked to me about what happened with him and Casper yet, and frankly, yeah. It was fucking complicated, and I loved Cass, and I don't know what would have happened if he really had just told me he thought Cass was gone in those first days. And he's right. Once you've lied, at what stage do you actually let me know, you know, when you actually, when do you actually, when we went to Bonham's lab, Nej said he wanted to have had more time with me first. He wanted to feel happy about where I was, about how I felt about myself, how in control I seemed to be of all these new instincts and feelings. He told me he doesn't think he'd have let us go to the lab for at least another year if he'd been able to keep me from going there. He told me it was, it doesn't help that Nej's perspective is next to impossible to imagine. The closest I have is being a nurse, I guess, or looking after my sisters, but, like, when I'm being a nurse, there's a knowledge gap between me and my patient, an experience gap too. Stuff that might be scary for them is normal to me because I've seen it before, and it's not happening to me, so I'm able to make more sensible decisions. I'm able to help better because I'm removed from those situations, you know? With my siblings, the gap was like, we were going through the same thing, but I had to be more responsible. I had to be a grown-up. So even though there wasn't a knowledge gap or an experience gap, really, at least not between Grace and I was kind of forced to act like there was. For Nej, the knowledge gap between him and me is kind of vast and unresolvable, right? Even if I live 10,000 years, he'll still be 10,000 years older than me. The distance only looks small on a scale of millions of years. And like, I don't even think vampires could last that long, really. Just from where we are now to where there were no humans at all could be as little as 2 million years. So like, in terms of scale, what then, you know? What then? Perhaps if he was 100,000 years old and I was just 90,000, then maybe it wouldn't feel like such a gulf. But that's so long. That's so fucking... I can't even conceptualize. I can barely think of the amount of time that Nej has already lived, let alone... He made such a good point, though, about himself. If the conspiracy theorist vampires in their little cults were right about him being the first ever vampire, vampires are an absurdly evolutionarily recent thing, like impossibly recent. 10,000 years, even 12,000, which is the oldest he thinks he could possibly be, even that, it's nothing. And it's a good point because it makes the conspiracy theorists sound like idiots. How could something as good at doing whatever it is vampirism does in our bodies evolve in that short amount of time? And also because it places Nej on a different kind of scale. 10,000 years is a long time for one person, yeah. But on the scale of existence, it's nothing. You know, I wonder, could you meaningfully distinguish vampire bones from human bones? The teeth are different, I suppose. But the way they look, that hard shell, which is much harder than human enamel. I checked when I got rid of Tim, so I know for sure it's harder. It protects that much more breakable matrix structure inside. Maybe they preserve less well than human teeth because of that. They're easier to crush than human teeth once you get them out of the jaw. And it seems like destroying the head is a very surefire way to kill a vampire. So that's... yeah. Probably a lot of our heads are crushed. And from what it says in Bonham's doctor's notes, our bones seem very much like human bones. Would that be true on a molecular level, I wonder? I did give real consideration to chopping off one of my fingers. I could go out and find that bit of Sherman to compare it to. I'm not sure where I put his fingers exactly, but I'll find them and then I can compare the bone structure. But like, pulling teeth, that's one thing. Chopping off a finger, that's something else. Maybe I could... probably I could bite it off pretty cleanly. Might even be able to get it to stick back on with enough spit. Maybe it would be more interesting to just watch it grow back. Possibly a toe would be easier. Also less noticeable if it didn't come back. And smaller too, which means it's probably less costly, blood debt-wise. Actually, that's a question, isn't it? If a human was missing a limb when they were turned to vampire, would they grow a new one? The cost in blood would be huge. I wonder if Nej knows about that. I reckon he's probably regrown a limb before. Like, 10,000 years is a long time to be alive, and it's really common on, like, a broader statistical scale for people to lose limbs. Like, not in terms of actual general population over a normal lifetime, but, you know, in terms of him living 10,000 years, it's probably less likely for him not to lose any limbs, statistically speaking. Anyway, I digress. Far, and for a long time. The point is, I don't know what the fuck it's like to be Nej. I don't know what it's like to be anyone except myself, really, and I can do some, like, imagining. I can be sympathetic and empathetic, and I can think really hard about it, but I'm never going to get it, am I? So what do you do when your experience of reality is so radically different from someone else's, right? The only thing you can do is listen. You have to actually listen. Honestly, I'm struggling with that. Because he has made mistakes. He's had to make tough calls, and I think he's made a lot of them wrong with me. It's hard to... It's so important to me to have control, you know? It's so important to me that I'm... that he sees me. It's worse that it's him, specifically. It's worse that I care. that I want him to care about me, that I find him pretty and kind and I like his company. It's harder because I want to fuck him. It would make things simpler if I didn't. It would make it even simpler if I didn't like him at all, even in a friend sort of way. But I do. And then the fucking... What even is romance, honestly? Is that what it... When he was talking about what it's like to care for a new vampire, when he was explaining how different it is from parenting a child, it struck me he seemed to be speaking from experience, which is mind-blowing to me because, well, he doesn't remember his human life at all. If he's parented a child, he did it as a vampire. I don't think we can, like, traditionally have children. I don't think that's possible. I can conclusively say that the stuff, it tastes sufficiently different from human stuff. So, yeah, not the same. Anyway. God, nobody's even here. Why am I so self-conscious about? Vampire jizz does not taste significantly different to vampire spit, though there is a difference in viscosity. There. Oh, my life is fucking ridiculous. Fucking hell, how do you even... God. Anyway, I'm only mentioning this here because it's important because of Nej. And not just because... Shut up. Future me, I hear you judging me. I know, but yeah. It's not because of the taste of him or anything. It's because I think he raised a child somehow, at some point. I think he did that to some capacity. How mental is that, you know? And it struck me, like, even though I don't agree with Casper, I don't think my dad, I think there's an extent to which I've still been treating being a vampire as my life ending. Nej is right. It's all happened very fast. I'm still so fucking new, honestly. All I've thought about for months is Casper and Bonham, and, like, there's a beyond that, isn't there? If I don't want to die, there's an after. A place that exists beyond this focus, and I've not even... What do I want that to look like? How does the future look for me as a vampire? Honestly, I've thought more about vampires in general than I have about myself. That something has to change for all of us. We need to, at minimum, legally exist because we need help. Or situations like this one with Bonham, it's going to happen again because there aren't enough of us alone to keep us safe and people are afraid of us because we're different. I want to go to Grace's wedding. I want to be there when Tammy graduates. I want to help my mum clean her house when she's too old and look after her when she needs it. It's a bad idea to speak to my family right now, but, like, honestly... If I'm living and I'm safe and I'm not under threat of being, like, experimented on and tortured and they're not at risk of being hurt to get to me, then I don't want to cut them out of my life. I love them. I care about them. Maybe they'll want to cut me off, which I totally respect, but, like, I don't want my future to be secret. And Nej, ever since he talked about how different the process of caring for a new vampire is from raising a child, I don't know. I kind of see him with a kid, you know? I'm not... Do I want kids? I don't know. Maybe in 100 years. Who knows? Not now. I can't even reasonably think of it now. I'm mad at him. I'm furious at him. He's fucked up epically. He should not have disconnected the fucking internet because he was scared of me finding out my family were looking for me. But he knew I'd asked Hayley to give them a suicide note from me, and he's right. The way they talked to the press, my mum and Grace, it's clear she didn't... Nej was worried what that kind of betrayal would do to me. He said it was so hard to keep me safe from myself as it was. He told me that it always is. It's always difficult. It's not me, it's nothing I've done. It's just complicated. He said he doesn't think he's good at this. He said he felt like a failure since what happened with Claudio. And in so many ways, everything he does now is shaped by that. He made Claudio. He had to seal him in a tomb for a fucking year to stop him from killing every human on sight. And I thought about, like, oh, that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? And, like, I'd considered sort of what it must have been like from Claudio's perspective. But, like, to make a new vampire, you have to... It's so... There should have been drip-feeding him, cleaning him, changing his clothes, reassuring him. Everything he did for me. And at the end of that, Claudio was violent and angry. And even then, Nej didn't abandon him. And like, Nej isn't shy about killing vampires. He'll fucking do it if he thinks you're going to be a danger. Make no fucking mistake. But he didn't kill Claudio. He shut him away, fed him through a hole, and kept him safe until he could keep himself safe enough to be let out. And after that, despite the vile shit that Claudio was spitting out, Nej fucking stood by him until such a point he was sure that Claudio was not going to accidentally get himself into trouble. Which, like, fucking tragic, isn't it? Because Claudio didn't get himself into trouble by mistake. He did it deliberately. I wonder, you know, how much of that first decade of his life influenced his view of Nej. He seemed to both fear and respect him, from what I can gather, but obviously I only know Nej's side of the story, and if there's one thing I've learned over the last year, it's that Nej's stories aren't the most reliable, especially when it comes to mistakes he's made and people he's loved. Because yeah, I think there has to be love there, even now, to do what Nej did. There has to be love there. God, it's so fucking complicated. I think it was love for Casper that made Nej save me. This is something else he's not really willing to talk directly about, but like, I think that's what it must have been, and why he was so gentle with me, even though I gave him nothing back. I don't know what to think about him. I don't know how I fucking feel. I'm angry and I'm sorry and I... He's stupid. But I feel heard. I feel like he fucking listened to what I said about the internet and everything he did. And he treated me like it mattered. Like it mattered that he'd hurt me. And it mattered that I told him. Like I mattered. That's like, on reflection, to me, the loudest thing out of everything that's happened is that even when he's felt like he's had to keep things from me to keep me safe, he's always looked at me like I matter. Not just to him, but like as a person. It matters what I think. It matters what I want. I'm important not because I'm me, but because I'm a person. And it's his job as another person to respect and honour that. Am I making any sense at all anymore? Ugh. Oh, I'm supposed to be hunting. I'm hungry. I should. Nej just stayed at the house with Casper, but... I don't know. Maybe he's right. Cass really doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Maybe it's silly to need someone to sit with him. Maybe I should call Nej. I like hunting with him there. He's better at it than I am. It makes my life easier and I just feel safer. I also just like his company. Fucking... Maybe this is a terrible idea. Oh, I don't fucking care. I'm gonna call him. I'm doing it.
Not Quite Dead is written, performed, and edited by Ara Major under a Creative Commons 4.0 attribution license. You can support the show and get early access to new episodes by going to patreon.com/hangingsourcestudios. Live, laugh, bite.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.